up everybody, no more sleeping in bed, no more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh,
yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. You had better wake them up, get them up, get them going. It is Friday on B&E, and it is a Bud Light Football Friday that began last night with the Cowboys winning the Big Easy. 5 days of football got going last night. Championship Saturday tomorrow. Huge day of high school football tomorrow as well in our area and around the state of Texas. NFL Sunday and Monday Night Football wraps up the 5 days with maybe the best game of the weekend, New England and Buffalo. So we'll dive into the football weekend. We'll dive into the Longhorn situation with the all-Big 12 teams announced yesterday and rumors of Gary Patterson's name circulating in and around the 40 acres. We'll dive into that conversation full force and preview championship Saturday coming up tomorrow with 10 conference titles on the line over the course of the next 2 days. One tonight, nine tomorrow. We'll jump into that as well. It's going to be a fun Friday. Appreciate you being there. Could be record-setting temperatures today in Central Texas on this, the 3rd of December. Heat in the forecast, humidity in the forecast as well, as we get you rolling on what's going to be a fun Friday into a tremendous weekend. Looking forward to it. Appreciate you being there. However you find us on 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260, and always streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Good morning, Mr. Godbolt.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, sir. The soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you for the great job that you do. It is appreciated. Thank you very, very much on this Friday morning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Friday it is, and you've got a high school football game tomorrow.
Yes.
With the,
in the afternoon.
Yeah, man. We're talking about December 4th with tomorrow, and you guys could have almost 80 degrees.
Nice.
For this game tomorrow with Lake Travis facing San Antonio Brennan, the game you will be doing. And mm-hmm. then, gosh, down at DKR, it's going to be Vandergrift and Westlake. Kind of a regional championship in the quarterfinal round to move on to the state semifinals. Winner likely faces Katy out of that game. What a game that'll be at the stadium. How about for those young guys? Todd Dodge, who played quarterback at Texas, getting to coach a game in that stadium, as he says, for the first time since he left as a player at Texas back in the day. So that'll be fun. And high school football, LBJ Jaguars are continuing in the state playoffs. So good stuff throughout the weekend and championships tomorrow. It's going to be a fun weekend, and the weather looks great. I mean, 75, 76 degrees. Can't beat that. You grew up playing in high school football in the state of Pennsylvania. I'm sure in December you didn't get many 75-degree Saturdays.
No, it was snow days. This would be football in the snow.
Football in the snow, wind blowing.
Oh.
Golly, we'll take it. But, man, it could be record-setting today and into tomorrow. So looking forward to that. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great.
Doing good?
Yeah, man. Looking forward to this weekend. Looking forward to the moving on from the quarters into the semifinals.
Yeah, man. Also, the championship Saturday on tap. We'll preview it coming
Absolutely.
Up. But, man, you got football all day tomorrow.
And I've got winners here.
You got winners?
I've got winners.
That's what I needed to hear. That's what I was looking for.
I've got winners.
Let me just say to BetUS that, that's where we go. BetUS is, they delivered last night. Cowboys, 10-point win. With a 6-point line when it kicked off, we'll take that. Thank you, Cowboys defense, because the offense didn't do much of anything last night in the Big Easy, but the defense rose up against Taysom Hill. Let's get to those headlines, trending topics, top stories on a Friday morning. Let's hit it. Ernie Hatton Real Estate brings you the news here in the 6 o'clock hour. Start with the NFL, and yeah, Week 13 opened last night in the Big Easy, New Orleans. The Cowboys snap a 2-game losing skid with a 27-17 win over the Saints. Head coach Mike McCarthy out because of COVID. Acting head coach Dan Quinn and his defense led the way last night. Dallas D intercepted Taysom Hill 4 times, including a pick on each of the final 3 Saints possessions of the game. Won by Trayvon Diggs, which that gives him 9 on the season. He leads the NFL. Biggest game from defensive lineman Carlos Watkins, who put the game away with a 29-yard pick 6. Just under 3 minutes to play in the game. Put the Cowboys up 27-10. Saints did score a late touchdown to make it a 10-point margin. Either way, Cowboys get the victory. They improved to 8-4 on the year. Next up for Dallas, they will face the Washington football team a week from Sunday in D.C. New Orleans falls to 5-7. Saints have lost 5 in a row. Big 12 released its all-Big 12 first and second teams yesterday, and despite their 5-7 campaign, Longhorns four different Longhorns voted to the league's first team by the coaches in the conference. Running back Bijan Robinson, offensive lineman Derek Kerstatter, and specialist Cameron Dicker all made the first team, as well as true freshman wide receiver Xavier Worthy. He was also named the Big 12's Offensive Freshman of the Year, rightfully so, record-setting in his freshman campaign. Big 12 championship game is one of 10 conference title games that will be played over the next 2 days. That'll have 5th-ranked Oklahoma State taking on 9th-ranked Baylor tomorrow, 11 a.m. at Cowboy Stadium in Arlington. Cowboys with a win can put themselves in a big-time conversation for the Final Four. Tonight, Oregon faces number 17 Utah in the Pac-12 championship game. ACC has Pittsburgh facing Wake Forest. Three biggest games tomorrow. SEC championship game in Atlanta. Number 1 Georgia facing 3rd-ranked Alabama. That's at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Also at 3, 4th-ranked Cincinnati faces 11-1 Houston, the Cougars. That game in the AAC championship. And tomorrow night, Big Ten title game featuring 2nd-ranked Michigan against Iowa. Back to Texas football news, and according to multiple reports yesterday, officials at Texas and former TCU head coach Gary Patterson have indeed had conversations about a possible role for Patterson within the Texas football program. Reports say there is mutual interest. The 61-year-old Patterson is close with former Texas athletics director Delos Dodds, and of course, current Texas AD Chris Del Conte was at TCU with Patterson before coming to the Longhorns. We'll keep you posted on that front. NBA last night, San Antonio Spurs extend their win streak to a season-high 3 games in a row. They beat Portland 114-83 in Phoenix. Speaking of red hot, how about the Suns? They extended their winning streak to 18 straight. They beat Detroit 114-103. And how about the game in Memphis? The Grizzlies top Oklahoma City 152-79. That's right, Grizz by 73. New league record.
Brought to you by Ernie Hatton Real Estate. Let Ernie Hatton show you how to use your current equity to move up into the home of your dreams. Call or text Ernie Hatton at 507-5142.
We're getting beat by 73 points.
Wow.
Trailing by 80 points at one point in the game. 80.
What is that, Jay?
The heck?
Yo.
Somebody didn't call a mercy rule there or something?
We just called this game off. They obviously didn't want to be there. 80 points, you're trailing in a basketball game.
Give me back my money.
Give me back my money.
Yeah, that can never happen. They didn't have their two best players, but I don't care. You're an NBA player. Ain't no way you should be getting drove by 70 ball.
Golly. But Cowboys get a win, and this text right off the top says it right. Micah Parsons for president. How good is that dude? That guy is a bad mofo, let me just say.
Did he end up with 2 more sacks?
Oh, he's just...
For 11 or 12 on the season as a rookie.
He's relentless, and he's just so dang fast and athletic, and, the Cowboys get a victory. It wasn't pretty. I mean, offensively, the Cowboys, biggest offensive play of the game was a Tony Pollard 58-yard touchdown run off the left side. They did a toss sweep, and Pollard outran everybody to the end zone, turning on his jets. That was a huge play because that was 13-10 at the time. Saints had to punt after a terrible penalty call. They got called for anybody ever seen this before where a tight end comes over to block a blitzing linebacker and they call a blindside hit? Like literally, they called a blindside hit on a guy coming to block to protect his quarterback. Somehow that's a blindside hit now in the National Football League where, both guys were head up coming at each other and they call blindside. That was a huge call because the Saints had completed a pass on the play which was going to, and they had the momentum in the football game, 13-10. They get a first down. Instead, it's 1st and 21.
It's part of pass protection, I would believe.
Yeah, 1st and 21 is now the call, and they end up having to punt from like their own 9-yard line. Cowboys get the ball back, and they do a toss sweep to Tony Pollard. He goes off the left side, get good blocking, and see you later. He's down the sideline for a touchdown. They go up 20-10, and the Saints with Taysom Hill Taysom Hill had over 100 yards rushing, but he's not a thrower. We know that.
No.
Plus, he broke his finger or something. He had a hit his finger.
That was in the first quarter.
He had a splint on his finger, and he's still throwing. He's still out there passing and, not able to put much juice on the ball. And once they fell behind by 10, the Cowboys just started picking off every pass he threw, it felt like, at that point. And they couldn't move the football.
Diggs was close early in the first half to a couple picks.
Yeah, Cowboys defense, Dan Quinn's earning his paycheck this year because they were outstanding last night. Coming off that game against Vegas where they gave up 36 points and over 500 yards and all the penalties that they had on Turkey Day, they put that behind them. And look, they're an 8-4 and get a big victory. Offense still is a work in progress and scuffling along here with that offensive line. But, man, going to New Orleans, get a 10-point victory, at one point up 17, you'll take that any day of the week.
Absolutely.
Any day of the week. Cowboys get the victory. And
Zeke's knee is bugging him, folks.
Yes,
he's
not
got
healthy.
No burst.
He was wearing the highlighter yellow shoes, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, like he's got no burst in his giddy up is. I mean, he looks like he's got a piano in his back.
Yeah, well, I mean, Tony Pollard, if you will go back and watch that 58-yard touchdown run, Marcus Williams, the safety, who's a good player for New Orleans, 43, he's got the angle on him. All he's got to do is push him out of bounds at the 15-yard line.
That guy's legitimately fast. He can go.
And he just, he hit a new gear and got to the pylon. I thought for sure he was going to get pushed out of bounds inside the 20, and Marcus Williams couldn't get there. You know, Pollard just hit the accelerator and see you later, touchdown. Cowboys get the victory wearing the blue jerseys and the win on the road last night, which was big for them. You know, they lost two straight, three out of four, and now they hit the month of December where it's a lot of divisional games, right? Their division stinks. They got through that stretch. They lost three. The three losses came against three teams from the AFC West. Lost to the Chiefs and the Broncos and, of course, the Vegas Raiders. Now, here in the month of December, they're going to see a lot of familiar foes, the Redskins, the Eagles, the Giants here down the stretch. And the Cowboys can really stretch this thing out because those are, at this point, those are bad football teams. Washington now is the best of the bunch, coming off their Monday Night Football win over the Seahawks, where they held on to beat Seattle 17-15. They're kind of in the playoff mix right now, but they're an under 500 team with Taylor Heineke and Ron Rivera. This should be the Cowboys division. This is where you, speaking of hitting the accelerator,
right,
Cowboys have a chance to do that starting next Sunday. Now you get 10 days off too. You get Mike McCarthy back, you get your you know, team healthy as you can be. DeMarcus Lawrence came back last night, which was big for them. Amari Cooper was back last night. This is a big stretch now for Dallas here over these 10 days to get people healthy, but really build some momentum into the month of December and really go after this thing in the NFC because everything's available, right? I mean, Arizona sits atop the conference at 9-2. Green Bay's 9-3. But the Cowboys right there at 8-4. So you're talking about, you know, could you start looking for home playoff games and, you know, those kind of things when it comes down to it in a 17-week season?
Absolutely. They need it.
They certainly do.
Because offensively, they struggled a little bit in the passing game again, I thought.
Yeah, well, they were not good offensively last night. Just 231 passing yards. Dak's not. I don't know what's going on with Dak Prescott. He threw a couple of picks there. He almost had another one that was just a foot out of bounds on an out route.
Yeah, when you miss those guys for that long, those guys have been gone for 2 or 3 weeks. That's tough. Especially
yeah.
They get no practice time.
Well, and CeeDee Lamb coming back from his concussion had just one catch. He had one rush for 33 yards. My bad. But he had, what did CeeDee have? He had 7 catches, 89.
He looked good when he caught the ball. His catching and running is coming back.
Well, and they used him as a running back on those little end arounds quite a bit last night. Amari Cooper had just 2 catches in his return from his injury. He's 2 for 41. The offense just kind of scuffles along here. And that's supposed to be the strength of the football team.
Right. It stinks when they don't push the pile. You know, like you said, one guy's got great speed and can get going. Zeke gets a bunch of carries, and he falls on the pile for 2 yards. And they get no push from the offensive line right now. And there's no big gaping holes. In the beginning of the season, when Zeke was running good, there were huge holes.
Well, let's give credit to New Orleans. That's a good football team.
They didn't play with their best defensive lineman.
Right.
Cam Jordan didn't play.
I know. That was huge for Dallas because that's their that's their game wrecker. But still, that's still a good front, and that's still a good defense that New Orleans brings to the table. So, a lot of teams are going to struggle against that group. Their offense is their problem. They just don't have any, without Alvin Kamara, and now, Taysom Hill hurts his finger, and, he's not a thrower to begin with. Cowboys had a huge advantage there, and that's once they went up 10, and that was big. I mean, New Orleans had the game right where they wanted it. When they got it, coming out of half, it was 13-7 Dallas at the half. They get a 3-and-out. Saints go down. Look like they're going to go score a touchdown, and that's where Micah Parsons made his biggest play of the game. Cowboys are up 3, and Parsons came off the edge. They ran a bootleg, and Taysom Hill was going to try to get to the outside and either throw or run, and Micah Parsons just gobbled it up and not only sacked him, took them out of field goal range with that play. They had to punt, and really the game swung from there. Cowboys take advantage. But you're right about Zeke. 13 carries for 45 yards, not doing much.
No.
Tony Pollard's had 71 yards on just 7 touches. As you said quite a bit this week, might want to start getting more equal touches for Tony Pollard.
For sure.
Well, and this is what I'm talking about with 10 days off. Can you get Zeke? I mean, gosh, give Zeke a week off. I mean, the most important thing now with the lead they have and the cushion they have in the NFC East is to get your team as healthy as possible.
Yeah, and Tony Pollard's involved in the passing game, but Zeke's involved in the passing protection.
Yeah. Well, he's there. He's tremendous, and you'll hear Mike McCarthy and all the coaches talk about that quite a lot. His ability to pick up blitzes,
right,
and understand blitz schemes and keep Dak Prescott clean.
I mean, I saw him go from one side all the way to the end of the line, and that's very seldom that you see running backs do that. I know they look inside. You look inside to out, but his responsibility was outside from the get-go. He went all the way across the formation from his one running back position and picked up the outside linebacker.
You know
came
why,
in.
Right?
Huh?
You know why.
Why is that?
Dak's his best friend.
Well, I'd be better.
Dak's his buddy.
Because he was on the blind side. He would have knocked Zach.
Those guys on Hard Knocks buying each other gifts. And
that's true. They buddy, do. Buddy. Don't they buy each other watches and things?
Dude, they're buddy-buddy. That's his guy. I'm not going to let my guy get hit.
Yeah, well, I just thought it was a good. No, I just
really
I watched
good,
him over the last
really
couple years of the way he pass protects. He's really.
He is good. But look, I mean, look, I'm not just saying you go to Washington on. If Dak's not 100%, let him sit. Let Tony Pollard be your lead running back. You're going to be okay on offense. Washington's not great offense.
Who's the next guy that comes in there to play for the Cowboys? They've got to have a third by now. They can't just have those two.
I haven't seen anybody. I mean, you got Pollard, and I mean, the third running back essentially is
CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb. They use him as a running back quite a bit. On end arounds.
No, eventually they'll crush him.
They actually, this year, Kellen Moore has lined him up as a running back.
Right.
At times in the passing game, just to create mismatches. But, yeah, I mean, my point would be at 8-4 through 12 games, you've got five to go, most of them against your division. Boy, the healthier you can get over this 10 days, because you just come off a stretch where you play three games in 12 days. Through the Thanksgiving break.
But you're going to get a physical game against Washington when you play.
You are. But I think Tony Pollard's not a letdown, right? It's if he's not 100, because you're right, he does look like he's carrying, you know, bags of cement on his back right now with that knee.
He does not
look explosive, but you're going to need him to be explosive in January.
Yes, of course.
And if it's not something serious, can you give him some rest? Can you give him these 10 days and maybe even a week off?
But once again, as I said, Tony Pollard is not the pass protector. Zeke is. He's the guy that goes out in passing routes. So they don't give him very many. No, they give him one check and go. Zeke,
you're
like.
Right. Well, you got 10 days to get ready. Because if I'm the Cowboys now looking at this, you know, to get a road win in New Orleans, when the schedule comes out way back in the spring, you're not, you know, you're looking at the trip to New Orleans on a Thursday night and think, yeah, that's going to be tough. Now, that might be a loss. Well, you win it by 10, up 17 at one point. You take that, and it almost makes up for the home loss to Denver.
Yes.
And now you're 8-4, and whatever your slide was through November, no big deal. December's here. You have a huge cushion in your division. And guess what? When you play next against Washington, that's a team you can bury because they're the second-place team in your division, but they're 5-6 right now. Can you bury them with a victory? And because you got to get healthy. That's the number one thing. Because you get to January when the playoffs come around, you need Zeke to be explosive. If you're going to move forward past the Green Bays and Arizonas and, those
type 2 yard runs and fall down
runs. You're going to need a really healthy and explosive Zeke Elliott to do the things that the Cowboys want to do. And whatever you can do here in the month of December to get him healthy has to be a focus for the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, to get this last night, he clearly wasn't 100%. He did a good job in the pass pro. But you could start Tony Pollard, give him 25 touches in that game against Washington. You might be better off right now if it does get Zeke the extra time. You might need to get him as healthy as you can get him. But Cowboys now 8-4, get the win last night. And as somebody pointed out, Lil Jordan Humphrey did catch one of the two touchdowns for the Saints. Lil Jordan, how about him? 84 off the left side. Touchdown catch last night from Taysom Hill, the boy on a bicycle, which was fun to see. And somebody else pointed out the UTSA is playing a championship game tomorrow. That is right. 10
yes.
Championship college football games this weekend.
They play Louisiana, do they not? Yeah. No, they do not. No,
UTSA
Louisiana plays
Western
Kentucky.
No, UTSA plays Western Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
The Hilltoppers of West WKU.
That's Appalachian State that plays Louisiana Tech.
10 championship games this weekend.
For the Fun Belt Championship.
Pac-12 tonight. Oregon plays Utah. We just saw that game a couple weeks ago, and it was all Oregon. Out in Utah.
And I'm thinking it may be the same way again.
And you're seeing some upsets here. Do you have any in your big three picks we'll have coming up at 7:15, your gold star locks of the championship weekend? Is it one of these huge games? Is one of them?
It's a huge game. I'm just going go blue. I'll tell you that right now.
Okay. Because you like the favorites. I know that.
Yeah, but go blue. Go blue is ready again.
Go blue.
I mean, they're playing to get into the college playoffs. That's just not for the Big Ten championship. That's for a lot.
That's for the Final Four.
And that's one of the hotter teams that's playing right now.
Well, Michigan, You're supposed to tease it, not give it away. But now you're Michigan's one of your big three picks.
Oh, yeah.
Here they come.
As soon as I said go blue, that
go
was
blue,
it.
Man. But listen, I mean, this is an opportunity for Jim Harbaugh to take every monkey off his back.
Absolutely.
Right? All of it. Because
all the little Gias can get off of his back.
And, you know, the dominant football team in college football this year has been Georgia, without a doubt. But, you know, Michigan's a bad fourth quarter in East Lansing from being 12-0 as well coming into this game. I mean, really, if you go back and watch Michigan-Michigan State, Michigan dominated the game for three quarters. They were up 16 points. They were walking away with it. They were doing exactly what they did to Ohio State, just pushing around Michigan State on both sides of the ball. I don't know if they let down. I don't know if they lost their focus, whatever it was, and they blew the lead in East Lansing, and Mel Tucker's team came back and won that game. But that's really the only bad, really bad quarter Michigan's played all year. They've been a really kind of under the radar playing really good football this season. So the Ohio State game and the dominance they had over the then second-ranked Buckeyes probably shouldn't have been a huge surprise when you watch it. You go back and watch Michigan through the breadth of the season, and here they are with a chance to put themselves firmly into the Final Four. If they win and beat Iowa, where they're a double-digit favorite in the championship game, they're going to be sitting there right there number two and possibly number one if Georgia were to lose
physical.
To Alabama.
They're so physical and finesse at the same time. I love their run game.
Well, and the kid McNamara, the quarterback, is just, you know, he's a great leader. He's not afraid to throw the ball over the middle of the field and hit the crossing routes, which is a big part of what they do offensively. But you're right, the engine of their offense is that running game and that offensive line, and that's what Iowa will deal with.
And congratulations to the Horns guys that made the Big 12.
Yeah, we'll get into the all-Big 12 teams coming up, talk Texas football, and this Gary Patterson story. It's one of those things that fans and we've talked about, kicked around, thrown out there, but now multiple websites that cover the Longhorns closely reporting that there is real smoke to this thing, that Gary Patterson was in town, and maybe there's conversation going on about some type of role within the Texas football program. We'll talk about that coming up. Craig Way has a Craig Way report. We've got your B&E Fact of the Day. It's a Bud Light Football Friday as we get you rolling here. Appreciate you being there. Just getting warmed up on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Always streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Neighbors. It's Bucky and Aaron.
Hope you're ready for the weekend. It's championship weekend in college football. Also, quarterfinal action in high school football this weekend with plenty of local flavor. Vandegrift, Westlake, Lake Travis, LBJ, Liberty Hill, Lago Vista. Good luck to all those teams and looking to advance into the Final Four in the state playoffs. 3 weeks to go. It's going to be fun. Good game at DKR if you want to get out and enjoy the 75 degrees tomorrow, Buck. And DKR might be your spot to watch Westlake Vandegrift in a good football game of Drew Sanders' team against Todd Dodge. Todd Dodge, of course, on his final ride here, looking for three straight state championships with the Westlake Chaps. You'll be in Poundtown.
I definitely will, 2 o'clock.
Short drive tomorrow, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, man.
For you, that's not far from your home there. That's home cooking for you with Dripping Springs in San Antonio, Brennan. It'll be a fun weekend, football weekend for sure. As we get this rolling, Cowboys get the big win last night, 27-17. Wasn't pretty, but it was a victory. The defense continues to get it done. 4 interceptions of Taysom Hill last night for the Cowboys, including Trevon Diggs. How about 9 picks? 9 picks.
And he was around about 3 of them that he didn't get last night,
too. He's a hawk, man. And Taysom Hill, let's just be honest, he's not a good quarterback, but he's also got hurt last night, and he's got a splint. I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback in the National Football League continue to play with a splint on his finger.
No, they generally replace you.
Yeah, generally you go out because everybody knows you can't throw him. And you got that thing wrapped. Troy Aikman kept talking about it. Like he said, I can't imagine being out there trying to throw with that thing on my finger. But how about this now?
But that dude, when he runs with it, he can go. Boy, that was like flashbacks when he was at BYU.
I know. You know, flashbacks of Mac Brown and Manny Diaz out in Provo.
Oh, my God. Trying to stop that guy?
Yeah. Like, he would just, it wasn't even wildcat. Like, he'd fake like he's going to throw, and it'd be like a draw
just
play.
He'd be gone.
And here he comes. He's jumping over people.
Running over guys.
I'll just say this. It was a shame that Taysom Hill got hurt with his finger. Because, I mean, that dude, it's hard not to root for him. Like, he's just the toughest dude. He's a tough SOB. You want him on your team.
But he is not a NFL quarterback.
No, he's not. And I think Sean Payton has done a good job using him. When he had Drew Brees and him, or Jameis Winston and him, you know, he's a great tool to have, right? He's a good guy because he can throw a little bit, so he scares the defense that, you know, you got to cover everybody, and then he can take off and run. But as the every down starting quarterback, it's just, and then he gets hurt, it's just not going to work. But I don't know, man. He's just one of those guys that you root for because he's so dang tough. He's such, you can just, you know, it was almost felt like he was going to will the Saints to a win last night at points of the game. But then, of course, the finger injury and the Cowboys with the interceptions. And really, I go back to that penalty call. If you're a Saints fan, you still have to be asking, how do you get called for a blindside hit on a block? Like, did you see this play? Guy's coming off the edge.
I did, yes.
He's about to ear hole your quarterback.
And you ear hole him.
And you block him. You do your job. Zay, did you see this? They call blindside block. I don't know how you play football if you're not allowed to come over and block a guy. I mean, he spots him.
To kill your quarterback,
yeah,
yes.
He spots him coming, comes across, blocks the guy, he completes a pass, and they throw a penalty and call some blindside block. I mean, Sean Payton about to lose his mind, and that was a big play in the game because the pass that he threw was completed, and it would have been a first down, and the momentum was on the Saints' side. They then got backed up to their own 9-yard line, and it was first and 21, and there's no way Taysom Hill's converting first and 21 with his inability to throw, and they have to punt, and that was the drive in which the Cowboys had the 60-yard touchdown run from Tony Pollard that made the lead double digits, and Saints weren't coming back from
that. By
the
way, they had Micah Parsons playing all over the place again. He wasn't just inside. He was outside again.
I know he's defensive rookie of the year without a doubt, but when we talk about generational talent, this guy could be all pro this year. I mean, think about this. Micah Parsons is the first player since James Harrison in 2010. James Harrison.
That maniac for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yes, with 70 tackles and 10 sacks through his team's first 12 games. And he's on pace. Think about this. Micah Parsons is a rookie. Is on pace for 100 tackles and 14 sacks this season. Last player to do that? Bruce Smith, 1983. So when people do text us and we get them and they say, it reminds me of Lawrence Taylor, that's no joke.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's not a joke. The guy just jumps off the screen with his athleticism, and Bucky's the fastest guy on the field. And if you said, hey, go out and cover that wide receiver, he would do it. And he'd do it pretty well. You put him anywhere. He's 4'3". He's 255.
He's long.
He's long, but he's relentless. The number one thing you notice with him is he never stops. He never quits on a play, and he just makes plays. I mean, think about that stuff.
Yeah, and he's got great strength.
He's on pace for a season on par with Bruce Smith, 93. But still, that's like Bruce Smith's prime.
Yes.
The prime of one of the best defensive players of all time's career. Micah Parsons is having that as a rookie. When we say generational talent, what does that mean for the future for Micah? He's just learning to play linebacker, and he's learning to play the sport. But every game he plays, he makes these huge game-changing plays. That's big time. Cowboys.
And once again, that shows you can have a year away from football and your body and can't do anything but to help your body.
Yeah, he took the year out. He went to Penn State the COVID year. Well, gosh, three of the top 10 picks in the draft.
Right.
Took the year off. Jamar Chase. Penn Sewell at Detroit, of course, out of Oregon, the offensive lineman. Those guys didn't play last year, and they're all playing at a pretty high level.
So you don't think this rest helps out? That's when you talk about Zeke E. Maybe you need to rest that dude.
Maybe. You talk about Bijan Robinson, which Longhorn fans don't want to hear, like shutting it down. But either way,
it just gives you your body as a not just a running back, but all these different positions on them. It's just a year of rest for your body. You don't get that. When you start into this sport, you don't get that. You know, you get the off season, that's what you get. But generally, and now you're playing 17 games in the NFL? It's crazy.
Yeah, well, and maybe 18 eventually.
And more.
I mean, the Cowboys, the NFL's heading, they're pushing for it. The owners would like 18.
Oh, they want to get to 20 before it's all said and done.
Well, it would be 20 with two preseason.
I mean, how about that?
The owner's ideal season would be two preseason games, one home, one away, and then 18 regular season games with two bye weeks.
Gosh.
With two bye weeks, which, you know, the players would demand if they're going 18 games, they'd get a second bye week. But as we've always said, that would push the season into mid-February.
I just love football, so I'm fine. I'm a football fan, so the more football, the better. But you just have to, and what they don't want to do, all the things I talk about, open up your roster and just put more people and give guys more opportunity. That's what they don't want to do. That's what the owners don't want to do. They want more games, and they don't want to open up the roster.
What do the owners care? I mean, The salary cap's a salary cap. They can only spend something. Think about it. What other business has a capped league? Like, they can only spend X amount on their total payroll. They can't go above it. That's a rule. All 32 teams can only spend so much. So whatever the roster size is, you can only spend X amount of dollars. That's a line item. That's the budget. You have to fit the roster into that number. But again, you're not going over. This isn't like baseball with the New York Yankees where you're going to spend $300 million potentially. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to. You can't go over the number. So what do the owners care? They're just raking in the money. And then an extra week, another week of football with the TV package would be, you know, billions of dollars. I mean, they're all in. Players would demand more roster spots, but they're not going to raise the cap. They'll just split the money less ways, or more ways, I should say, under the salary cap. But either way, NFL, hot and heavy, Cowboys in first place. All right, so not only is it coming from Longhorn websites, orangebloods.com, Inside Texas, Horns 24/7, all reporting yesterday that there is interest for Gary Patterson with Texas. This is also coming from Fort Worth. I'm reading this story from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Mac Engel, the longtime columnist there in Fort Worth, who's covered Gary Patterson his entire career at TCU, said, according to his sources, indeed, Texas and Gary Patterson have chatted about the former TCU head football coach joining Steve Sarkisian's staff in some capacity, likely as a defensive analyst. One source close to Patterson said that he is not planning to make it a fast decision. He will weigh his options. So that's the same story that's come from the Texas side of this thing, too, on multiple reports yesterday that Gary Patterson was in town. He's close with DeLoss Dodds and his family. I know Gary Patterson's wife who went to Texas when you were coaching there.
Yep.
And, you know, so Gary has a lot of Texas ties. And, gosh, I mean, DeLoss Dodds was, excuse me, Chris Del Conte was his AD at TCU while he was the coach there.
And obviously his kids are a little bit older now. I mean, my goodness.
Well, he's 61 years old. You know Texas will pay well, right?
Absolutely.
Whatever his analyst role would be. I mean, it could be kind of an assistant head coach kind of thing. But
he's going to have two homes. He's going to have something here temporarily. And
well,
then,
you know, Gary's going to end up living out in
Horseshoe Bay,
or that's where Todd Dodge is headed when he's done at Westlake. That's where all the retired coaches live. That's where Gary's going to end up. And so, you know, makes some sense. And look, let's be fair. I mean, they were honest. I mean, Texas coming off a 5-7 season needs some positive news. And they could use Gary Patterson, who's one of the best defensive minds in the world, and evaluators of defensive talent to, you know, gosh, why wouldn't you want Gary Patterson a part of what you do, even if it's to help Pete Kwiatkowski develop schemes and develop players and evaluate possible recruits?
Well, we know he knows how to develop players because he's got a bunch of them in the NFL.
Yeah. And look, he's 61. Does he want the day-to-day grind that goes into running his own program?
Probably not.
Maybe not. But does he want to help Steve Sarkisian learn the Big 12 and, you know, make his way into the Southeastern Conference, which is where he's heading?
And you go, and his wife is saying, you go help my school now.
Yeah.
Dude.
She's a proud Longhorn.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, think about Gary Patterson. Having played them every year for the last 8 or 9 years at TCU, he knows the ills of the program because he scouted it, right? You know, can he come in and help? Hey, look, here's your blind.
Your guys aren't very tough.
I mean, we've talked about a lot, Steve Sarkisian, this staff, and even the program itself needs to learn its blind spots. Like, what are we missing here? What are we not seeing? Because, you know, they're trying. Bring in an outsider like Gary Patterson, who has scouted and studied this team closely as the opposition. Bring him in and say, look, what are you seeing here? What are we not doing? What are you seeing on film? How can we fix this? You know what? When I first heard this story, because again, we've talked about it a lot since Gary was let go. We've gotten the text from people, hey, bring in Gary Patterson, bring in Gary Patterson, and it sounds just like fans being fans. But now there's real smoke to it. I mean, there's a real conversation going on, and there's mutual interest between the two. Remember when Mack Brown, back in the early part of his tenure at Texas, the team was called labeled soft, right? And Mack was Coach February, and they couldn't beat Oklahoma, and they kind of got that label. And Mack hired a guy named Dick Tomey, who had been the former Arizona coach. Old Dick Tomey. And he was only in his 60s at the time, kind of like Gary Patterson. And he came in and was a big part of infusing toughness into the Texas football program. You know, the 6 a.m. workouts that are, I don't know, famous with Vince Young. Dick Tomey started those. Dick Tomey came in along with Greg Robinson as the co-defensive coordinators when Carl Reese retired and came in and really infused. I mean, talk to those, the players on that team, Rod Babers, Casey Stuttered, and those type of players. Dick Tomey was a huge part of that. Could Gary Patterson fill a similar role where he's coming in to be the enforcer for this program and helping Steve Sarkisian? And think about the offensive mind of Steve Sarkisian, the defensive mind of Gary Patterson, combining forces with his recruiting ties and his ability to help with the high school football coaches in the state of Texas. That could be pretty good.
Absolutely.
That could be, and you keep Pete Kwiatkowski, you know, you brought him in for a reason, you don't want to change again, but bring in a guy like Gary Patterson, give him a title. What is the title? Does it matter? But then you define what his role is to help this football program find some toughness.
Yeah, and you've got to be careful, because I think what happened last year is not only Sark, but before Tom Herman got out of here, they were looking into the portal to find their toughness. They're trying to find their toughness in players, other players that have been in prominent programs that they thought were going to bring that sense of toughness here. But it's not, you don't bring the toughness here. This place will change you. You've got to find the toughness within you when you're here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you got to demand the toughness even though it's a comfortable place to live, right?
Right.
I don't know. We'll see. Gary Patterson didn't have options. There's a lot of coaching jobs out there still. But does Gary Patterson want to go back and be a head coach somewhere? Does he want to be a defensive coordinator? Or
I just don't think he wants to be a full-time any of that stuff.
Yeah, well, this would be an opportunity for Gary Patterson. So we'll keep an eye on that. And it's not just coming from the Texas
side. Yeah, he doesn't have to go recruit.
No, because, again, you know, by rule, you can only have 10 coaches on the recruiting trail with, you know, your assistants.
But his name will go a long way. Well, and he'll know the type of player. I mean, Gary Patterson, you know, He gets the players that suit the scheme. He's not going to look at the scheme and say, I got to get this certain kind of player. No, he gets great athletes, you know, and then fits them in those molds, you know.
Well, that's what Gary did so well to build that TCU program
right into
what it became.
Everything that other people didn't want, he would find it in these guys,
these type
of players.
We're watching Mike Gundy do it at Oklahoma State, right? Where they're,
yes. They're recruiting. Give me a bunch of athletes.
It's positionless football, right? You're just looking for the best athlete. And then train him up at a position. That's what Mike Gundy's done. Gary Patterson did that for years at TCU. And yes, I mean, Steve Sarkisian can use a guy like that, especially if he comes in as an ally and wants to help the program. We'll talk about it with you. Your thoughts, Gary Patterson. There's mutual interest, it appears, from all sides here, from Fort Worth and Austin, that there is conversations being had. We'll keep you posted on that front. We've got your B&E Fact of the Day coming up. Cowboys get the big win last night. It's a Bud Light Football Friday. First, Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Reading from the Mac Engel story in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram on this Gary Patterson story, in addition to saying that there is mutual interest, he also drops the note that he's also talking or considering Oklahoma as a spot because his longtime friend Bob Stoops is the interim head coach right now at OU. And
His old buddy Lincoln Riley was trying to take care of him during the season when they were ready to escort him out.
He and Coach Stoops are longtime friends and adversaries. But Mac Engel writes it in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram that for the last few years, Patterson has told friends that whenever he left TCU, he envisioned a scenario where he would join a coaching staff in this role or potentially as a defensive coordinator. But, you know, the role of analyst or assistant head coach slash analyst, which takes him off the recruiting trail, you know, where he could evaluate players,
right. Help
develop players, and, you know, whatever the role the head coach needs, but still be around a game and help a program, but not be, you know how that goes. The recruiting trail is the biggest grind for an assistant coach, right? And it never ends. and you know, telling 17 and 16-year-olds how great they are kind of gets old sometimes, you know what I mean?
Especially for an old dude.
Yeah. An old codger like...
Yeah, you're the greatest, you're the greatest.
Every year.
Yeah. And that never changes.
But so we'll see. The fact that, you know, great reporting by the Longhorn-centric websites as well, orangebloods.com and Inside Texas, on3sports.com. But Mac Engel at the Fort Worth Star has covered Gary Patterson's entire career at Texas.
Well, this is a great way for him to still understand that, you know, maybe that head coaching role has passed him by, but he's much needed in the game of football for someone. You know?
And he wants to be around the game, but is it he?
Yes.
And part of the thing with that TCU, did he kind of lose focus? Because it's an all day, every day, 24-hour-a-day job, right? And there's some that felt like at TCU he had lost some focus. He was interested in doing the music thing, and you know, living a little and whatnot, but at the same time...
Telling you how many carries your running backs should
have.
Yeah,
and he was focused on things not football. And
right.
That, you know, it's got to be all the time. And when Gary Patterson was locked in, I mean, TCU was winning Rose Bowls, and he got them into the Big 12. He got all the new facilities built at TCU. He's done an amazing job there building that program. But, you know, is there a role where he can help a program? And as Mac Engel writes it, he's always wanted to be on a, with a program that has a chance to win.
Yeah, and it will be interesting to see if he's really how close he is with CDC. I mean, are they really, really close, or they just, or that is that just said? Because if that were the case, CDC could really get a lot of things done with Gary Patterson.
Well, that's, and right, and Steve Sarkisian needs to be on board with this, but I don't know why he wouldn't be. I mean, Steve Sarkisian, as an offensive mind, knows how great of a defensive mind Gary Patterson is.
That's right.
I mean, for how many years in a row, for, you know, was he considered the Bill Belichick of college football, the way he would, you know, develop defenses and get, you know, more out of less, and we're bringing 2 and 3 stars and turn them into NFL draft picks. I mean, that's Belichickian in the way he, you know, schemes up a defense and confuses a quarterback and develops players, identifies, first and foremost, identifies those players in the high school ranks, and then brings them in and develops them to their full potential. I mean, that you can't go wrong with that. And the one thing that this staff lacks at some level for Steve Sarkisian, well, some would say there's a lot that they lacked in a 5-7 season.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that just jumps off the, you know, as far as, because Steve Sarkisian talks about his staff as a championship level staff, and but, you know, ties in the state of Texas, you know, everybody's from somewhere else, and they're trying to build those ties. Stan Drayton certainly has them, and the, you know, he's been at Texas now, you know, since Tom Herman got here. And Stan Drayton, you know, his running back room is the best room they've got, right, as far as a position goes. But Gary Patterson immediately brings credibility to your staff, immediately brings high school coaching
relationships. Well, to all parts of your defense.
And the whole program. Just, he knows every high school coach in the state and has for 25 years. And, you know, those are things that are, I mean, Gary's always had the ability to call any high school coach in the state and say, hey, who's the kid no one's talking about?
That's right.
Who's your hard worker? Who's that dude that is going to bloom and blossom later?
Give me that good-looking athlete over there, yes.
And that coach is who's not going to tell everybody that, but they trust Gary Patterson because that coach is going to develop that player.
Absolutely, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that would be immediate credibility in the high school coaching ranks in the state of Texas. Hey, let's get to your B&E Fact of the Day. This is one I know you're all going to get right.
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Texas Orthopedics. Texas owned and operated for over 30 years. Providing comprehensive orthopedic care for your whole family. TXOrtho.com.
Biggest offensive play of the game last night for the Cowboys. Tony Pollard, 58-yard touchdown run. He turned on the afterburners. It's his fourth career rushing touchdown of at least 40 yards. Third most in Cowboys history. Who are the other two running backs in Cowboys history with four or more 40-yard runs for touchdown? I know you're all getting this right. There are two other Cowboys running backs all time. They both have 7. Who are they? Answer on the other side. Plus your headlines, your coach's corner. We roll on a Bud Light Football Friday.